Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. Florida leads the nation. There are more people in Florida getting health insurance through Obamacare than any other state using healthcare.gov. There are more people in South Florida getting insurance through Obamacare than most states. In short, South Florida is huge for healthcare.gov, the government website that is the portal for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. So how has the Affordable Care Act affected your health or your pocketbook? Text WLRN to this number, 63735, and you can let us know. Text WLRN to 63735 about how the Affordable Care Act has affected your health or pocketbook to join the conversation. Jody Ray is the director of Florida Covering Kids and Families at the University of South Florida.
People really want health care, and I don't think that changed regardless of what is being discussed out there in the political world. People in the real world know they need to be able to get to a doctor when they get sick and when they're hurt.
And a new study out this week from Florida State University finds health insurance companies underestimated the cost of covering the hundreds of thousands of new patients, especially those in Florida, and that has meant fewer choices and higher insurance premiums through the years that the ACA has been in force. You can join the conversation on the telephone as well, 800-743-WLRN. How has the government website, healthcare.gov, and the insurance one can purchase through it impacted your pocketbook? Maybe you get your insurance through your employer. Have you seen an impact from the Affordable Care Act? 800-743-9576. Dan Chang covers healthcare for our partner, the Miami Herald. He's with us from our studios at the Miami Herald in Doral. And Jim Saunders watches over the state legislature for the News Service of Florida from our sister station in Tallahassee, WFSU. Dan Chang with the Herald, how big is Obamacare in South Florida, and how has it changed since the first year, 2014?
Hey, Tom. Obamacare is big in Florida, as you mentioned at the opening, and it has only gotten bigger since the first year that healthcare.gov went online for the 2014 coverage year. There are about 1.75 million people who signed up this open enrollment period that just ended in January 31st. This is according to the Health and Human Services Administration. The great need in Florida, I wanted to just sort of add a little context, is in part because we don't have Medicaid expansion, which means that more people qualify for that financial aid to help them buy a plan on healthcare.gov. And, if we had expanded Medicaid, there would be even more folks who are being helped by Obamacare. States like California, for instance, I think added 2.5 million people who are newly insured through both channels, which are expansion and the exchange.
And the number of plans has changed considerably. The report that you wrote about today, Friday, in the Herald from this Florida State University study found that the choices that ACA insurance customers have found here in Florida have continued to drop through the last several years that it has been in force.
That's right, Tom. There's a number of reasons why insurance companies have had a hard time making money on the exchange, and that's not to say all of them, because some of them are doing better than others. And what the report found was that, number one, health insurance companies may have underestimated the level of need among this population, which is largely, these were largely the people who couldn't get insurance before Obamacare because they were denied for pre-existing conditions, or maybe they just couldn't afford it. They had put off a lot of care. There's also evidence that insurance companies, in an effort to try to grab a larger share of that market, may have underpriced their plans at the beginning. That would have contributed to it. There are a number of other reasons, too. There were sort of reinsurance and risk corridor programs, the insurance for the insurance companies who picked too many sick people. Those also were underfunded, and that caused, for instance, there's a local company called Preferred Medical, and they attributed their closing, their ending their exchange plans because they didn't get the payments that they were going to receive. So,
Jim Saunders with News Service of Florida, let me bring you in from Tallahassee. Dan Chang mentioned that Florida lawmakers did not expand Medicaid. Expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act had a lot of financial implications that the Republicans in the State House and the Republican in the Governor's Mansion did not want to take on. So what are the issues that state lawmakers are facing as they're potentially looking at a repeal and replace of Obamacare with all the uncertainty around the Affordable Care Act in Florida?
Well, I think that's the big question, both in Tallahassee and in Washington. What now? As you said, the state did not expand Medicaid, but on a broader basis, the legislature and Governor Scott have just done been very resistant to anything attached to Obamacare. So The issue, which we're seeing play out primarily in Washington at this point, is the Republicans are trying to figure out, okay, we got what we wanted. Now what do we do with it?
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of people. I mean, the numbers that Dan was talking about are just it's a large number of people that could lose health insurance or have their coverage reduced. And, you know, there's going to have to be action both in Washington and Tallahassee, I think, to respond to that, to try to alleviate some of the potential problems that would fall out if Obamacare is actually repealed or dramatically scaled back.
So the action in Washington, Jim, right, is that repeal and replace debate. And what we've heard from the administration and from President Trump and others is that they will offer up a plan that will do both of those things, perhaps in the same week, if not the same day. But what are those state issues that you mentioned that lawmakers kind of need to respond and relate to?
Well, if they repeal Obamacare or dramatically scale it back, there are going to be a lot of people in Florida who are going to have needs that are currently being met by Obamacare that are not going to be anymore. I mean, that's just sort of common sense. So I think the legislature is going to have to look at some potential avenues to at least make some sort of coverage available, or at least some programs available. I think one thing we're seeing in the House, state House, already play out is a lot of efforts to focus on some sort of deregulating health insurance markets, health care markets, and hoping that will provide some different choices for people. The opponents of some of what the House talks about, though, says that, you know, what would be offered to people would not be true insurance, or it would be dramatically scaled back insurance. So they would not be getting the same sorts of coverage, comprehensive coverage, mm-hmm. that they're getting under Obamacare. This issue has so many different implications because it's not just the patients. Hospitals care a lot about it. Yep. Doctors care a lot about it. Insurance companies obviously care a lot about it, but hospitals, if a lot of people lose insurance, they're going to be losing a revenue stream that they've been counting on.
Yeah, and seeing the cost, and seeing perhaps the uninsured costs go up, which will put even more of a pressure on state funding or other funding sources to make some of those hospitals whole, those safety net hospitals. Some audience feedback here via our Ground Source text system at 63735. You can text WLRN to 63735 and participate. Robert in Miami wrote us, Obamacare put my wife and I back under medical coverage affordably for the first time in 14 years. Amy in Cooper City, for the better, I have my health issues under control because I have insurance that helps pay for my medication and my doctor. Governor Scott did not expand Medicaid, and therefore without the Affordable Care Act, I would be in a lot of trouble. Sean in Lake Worth texted us, I'm a self-employed person. Obamacare for no coverage with a high deductible was $475 per month. I could not afford that, so I went without insurance. Therefore, I pay a penalty under the act for not having insurance. So essentially, I'm paying insurance for other people while not having insurance for myself. You can join the conversation on the telephone, 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Let's start the calls in Miami with Adrian. Miami, you're on the Florida Roundup. Go ahead. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show. I just wanted to basically share my personal experience with the Affordable Care Act. I was a law school student on my first year of law school, and I was required to have medical insurance. I submitted my application through the healthcare.gov, and according to the healthcare.gov, I qualify for a catastrophical plan of which I would have to pay $213 a month for that same plan. Which at the time, when you're in law school, you're not allowed to work.
Yeah.
So, Adrian,
let me just ask for a clarification. The $213 a month premium, that was the cost to you with the subsidy. Is that right?
Yes. But okay. You also have to have in mind, I was 26. I had no pre-existing medical condition, and I don't at this point, thank God. I was working. I was barely making, I think it was $10 an hour, and I was working 15 hours a week.
So what'd you do?
This idea, I'm sorry? What? I was working for the Office of Admissions.
No, I mean, what'd you do with your health insurance? Did you wind up paying that $213 a month as required with the individual mandate?
No, I did not. I actually, I had a grace period from my employer, so I did not pay the penalty because yeah. I was sick. I had coverage for 6 months, and that's when I went off to law school. But thankfully, I did not, and now I'm in another law school here in Miami, and they offer a much better plan than the Obamacare, and I only pay, I think, $1,700 for a full semester, which is almost an entire year. But the school is mandatory because of the, you know,
sure.
Mandate of having insurance.
Adrian, we appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for your input. We want to hop to Paula over in Miami Beach. Paula, your experience with the Affordable Care Act here. Welcome to the Florida Roundup.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, so how it affected me, I have a daughter, 14 years old, healthy, and so what the premiums were going to be between $700 and $800 a month for me and her combined with a $7,000 deductible. So I opted out and I paid $4,662 penalty.
And what about your health expenses?
Pay them out of pocket as we go. Pay full, you know, say I'm uninsured, go to a doctor, and pay his office visit, buy my medications on my own,
and still
pay that.
And Paul, at the end of the year, the penalty plus your cash health care prices are less than what you think your deductible and your premium would add up to?
The approximately 800 times 12 is 9,600 plus a $7,000 deductible. Yep. You're looking at almost $15,000 a year. I get my medications for $100 a month. Hmm. My daughter's she's 14. I take her for her yearly visit. That's it.
Yeah. Paula, thanks for your thoughts. Dan Chang, you know, what you're hearing there, and you and I have done a lot of reporting on health insurance in this community, certainly. But what you hear there is that financial impact and that sticker shock of that Affordable Care Act premium, even with the subsidy, and folks still opting not to get into the system.
Yes, and that's a complaint that people have had, although you need to consider that Paula, for instance, is taking a big risk. She's not protecting herself from potential bankruptcy if, yeah. God forbid, something happens. And that's one of the safeties of having health insurance. I think worse off are the people who don't qualify for subsidies, who are 55 and older, and have to buy their own health insurance. If they don't qualify for the subsidies, it's because they make too much. And it's really not fair for them to face $2,000 a month premiums. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are things to consider as well. You know, the folks who are getting the subsidies are never supposed to spend more than about 9.5% of their annual income on their premiums. So, you know, there is a built-in calculation or safeguard that's supposed to exist there, but certainly it could be better. I think that one of the ways it could improve is that subsidies could go to more people and perhaps in some ways even be more generous.
Jim Saunders, meantime, for the Florida legislature, how has the Affordable Care Act influenced the state debate that is going to be happening in this budget cycle and going to be happening in just a matter of weeks over state spending on health care, which accounts for about 30%?
Well, I think part of the complexity at this point is that nobody knows what's going to come out of Washington. I mean, not only on the Obamacare issue, but other health care issues, including whether President Trump will carry through with Medicaid block grants, which could have a substantial effect on the state government, state budget, Medicaid program. So things are, things in motion at this point it's a little bit hard to tell. Again, though, you know, Florida didn't do Medicaid expansion. It didn't set up an exchange. So from those standpoints, Florida doesn't really have that much to undo related to Obamacare if it does get repealed.
Jim, just from your perspective, it was a bet that the Florida legislature made a few years ago. Is it a bet that's paying off now?
Well, I'm sure if you talk to Republican leadership, they would say so.
Yeah.
Their argument against Medicaid expansion all along was that, yes, there's going to be a bunch of upfront money from the feds, but what happens down the road? Now we're down the road because there's a change in administration.
Yep. Jim Saunders watching the Florida administration in the Florida State House with News Service of Florida from our partner WFSU in Tallahassee. Dan Chang watching healthcare here in South Florida with our partner, the Miami Herald. Thank you to both of you gentlemen. We're going to shift gears here on the Florida Roundup. New owner, possibly, for the Miami Marlins. How about that? And how the Miami Heat have become the hottest team in the NBA, but still have a losing record. That's next on the Florida Roundup.